We began last week, and I want to review very quickly what we said, to discuss the sugya of what's called a beitza that was found in the Tarnagolas, either after it died through shechita, after it died through nevela. We'll go through all the different permutations. What's the status of that beitza? In the case of an animal that died without shechita, does the beitza have the status of a nevela? In the case where the beitza was found inside the mother hen after shechita, does the beitza have a status of basar and you're not allowed to cook it with chalav? And we had another issue about whether or not we have to remove the dam from the beitza, because we have a din of melichas hadam. So what we found is that the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simon Pei Zion that if the beitza reached its total developed state, which means it's got not only chelmon but it also has chelbon, even though it's still ma'ura begidin, so we see that it's not ready to be, you know, to for the egg, for the chicken to lay the egg yet. Things are still premature, and he shechted the animal. He shot, in this case, the oaf. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, in such a case, this egg, because it has both chelmon and chelbon, does not have the status of what? Of basar, but rather it's parable, let's say. It has an identity of its own. You're allowed to cook it with milk. If it only has chelmon and it's missing chelbon, then it's still considered part of the basar. It has the status of oaf, and you're not allowed to cook it with milk. We don't cook milk with chicken. That we don't do. And this psak in Shulchan Aruch, we said, is based on a Gemara in Beitza that you shechted the Tarnagoles and you found Beitzim. If the Beitzim are Gemuros, which means they have both Chelmon and Chelbon, then they are defined and classified as a separate entity. They're no longer Basar, and you're allowed to eat them together with milk. Okay. The Ramah says in a different simon earlier in the halachas of Malicha that if you shecht a bird and you find beitza, you find an egg inside the beitza. So the Ramah says that if the egg reached the stage of chelmon and not chelbon, then it's basar, because it didn't have chelbon. It's not a beitza gemura, and therefore you require malich. You have to get rid of the dam. However, says the Ramah, if it reached the stage of nigmar af hachelbon, then nagim lemalicha lemolcha. We have a minog of malicha. So if Soloveitchik wants to try to understand what is the basis of this minog, I mean, we just finished saying that if you shecht a bird and you find the beitza gemura inside, then it doesn't have a din of basar. It's an entity unto itself. You're allowed to cook it with milk. So why do you have to do malicha? What would be the logical, compelling motivation to institute this minog of malicha?
Is era atu?
Well, again, you're right. You're always right, Yosef, but you're just one step ahead of me. Your answer will be correct, but we have to differentiate between Doraisas and Darabonans. Give me just one more minute to get to that point, and then we'll see about whether we have Xera or we don't have Xera. It all depends upon whether we're afraid of a violation of Doraisa or we're not. But before we get to that, let's add another element to the equation, because this is another question that would be answered with that principle of when we do apply Xera and when we don't apply Xera. And that's the case of what's called Beitzas Nevela. So in this case, he didn't shecht the bird. The animal, the bird, died without Shechita. And Tosus says in Masechta Beitza on Daf Vavam in Beis that if this Beitza is a Beitza Gemura, that means it has both Chelmon and Chelbon, then Beis Hillel, at least for one, say that you're not allowed to eat this Beitza. It has the status of an Avela.
If it has both Chelmon.
Again, it's a fully developed, developed egg. It has Chelmon and Chelbon.
So it's a filu in Yeshneh.
And nevertheless, Tosus says, according to Beis Hillel, we're going to accept the sheet of Beis Hillel, that you're not allowed to eat this Beitza. Why? Because the mother bird died without Shechita. Now, wait a second. We're again in a bind, because we just finished saying, that was our Simon Pezayin that we began with, that if you find a complete developed egg that has both Chelmon and Chelbon, you're allowed to cook it with what?
Milk.
With milk. If you're allowed to cook it with milk, it means it's a separate entity. It's not part of the basar. Because otherwise you'd not be permitted to cook it with milk. And if that be the case, once it's a Beitza Gemura, even though you find it Mu'ura Begidah, you find it inside the animal's body, after whatever, after it died, after you shechted it, it has the status of a separate entity. If it's a separate entity, we'll call it Parva, you're allowed to cook it with milk. It's not basar. Why then is there a minog, after you shechted the animal, the bird, and you found the Beitza inside, that you need Malicha? Malicha, according to that meaning, means we treat it as basar. Or alternatively, why is Tosfos saying Masechta Beitza that if you found the Beitza of a dead Targonagolis inside its body, it died without Shechita, we're not allowed to eat that Beitza? Why not? It's a Beitza Gemura. If it's a Beitza Gemura, it's a separate entity. It's not part of the body of the mother bird, and therefore it's not an Avela.
And you have to salt
it. So we have.
If it was from an animal that died, you would have to salt it, right?
Yeah, of course, because the Ramah says in Siman Ayin Hey that it's still called basar. Why? Because it's still Ma'ura Begidin. You found it inside the animal before it was ready to be laid. So the Rav answers, and this is the introduction to what you were saying, Yosef, is that it all depends upon what is the worst case scenario, so to speak. What Iser could we be violating? In other words, although the Beitza Gemura technically is not basar, it doesn't have the same din as the Tarnagolas, and therefore you should be allowed to cook it with milk, you don't need Malicha, and if it's an Avela, no problem, the Beitza is not an Avela. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that since it's Ma'ura Begidin, it does have the status of Basar. You follow? Now we have a situation of a Safek. You know, we're not sure whether or not it's still Basar, or it's already become a separate entity and it's not Basar.
Even though it is Gemura.
Even though it's Gemura, because it's still Ma'ura Begidin, you know, it's not a Beitza that was laid. If it was a laid egg, then for sure, right, None of these issues would come up. Not the Nevela issue, not the issue of Dam and Malicha, not the issue of cooking it with milk. None of those issues would be relevant. So I'll just read to you the language here. He says, Lohitiru lechol Beitza shkuta b'chalav. Why is it that the Shulchan Aruch, as we saw, codifies this halacha that after Shechita you can take out this Beitza Gemura and you can cook it with milk? Ela mishum de basar of b'chalav eino osur ela midrabanan. We're dealing with, in the worst case scenario, an isur drabanan. Why? Because if it has the din of basar, what kind of basar does it have? It's basar of, and basar of b'chalav is only drabanan. Aval, but if you're talking about the issue of dam, on the tzad that it might be basar, then dam is also doraisa, the dam of the tarnagolas. We need malicha. Or, for example, if you're talking about a suffix nevela, then nevela is an isur Torah. And if it still has the status of being part of its mother's body, and therefore it's not considered an entity unto itself, and it's basar, then it comes under the isur nevela. And that's what he writes here, that this would justify the minhag of the Ramah, that in the case of a Beitza that you found inside a Shechuta, you want to say it doesn't have a din of basar because it has both chelmon and chelbon, but again, it's still inside the chicken's body, and after you shechted it, you found it in Mu'ura Begidin, and now you want to say that the Rabbanan could be mekil and consider it as if it's a separate entity because it has both chelmon and chelbon. No, that's only as far as cooking it with milk is concerned, because there, in the worst case scenario, even if it is basar, it's basar of, which is only the Rabbanan. But as far as Malicha is concerned, here the minig was to be machmir on the tzad that maybe it's still basar because it's Mu'ura Begidin. And now we're dealing with an Isadam. The Isadam is clearly an Isadoraisa. So if we take the tzad lechumra that it still is basar, in the case of cooking it with milk, it's basar of. That's only the Rabbanan. But in the case of dam, on the tzad that this beitzah is still part of the basar of the tarnagolas, then you're dealing with an isa doraisa of dam. Alternatively, again, if you're talking about an avela that died without shkita, then if you consider this beitzah to be part of the body of the animal, of the tarnagolas. And the reason for that is because although, despite the fact that it was Beit Segemur, it's still Ma'ura Begidin, then you're dealing with an Issa Doraisa Nevela. Because the Nevela is prohibited Midoraisa, any part of the animal. And now we're seeing this Beitza not as a separate entity, but part of the animal. Again, that's a Chumra, but nevertheless, it's a chumra atu a doraisa. Do you see that, Yosef, how that's very similar to what you were saying? Yes. That if you talk about Xeris, then maybe he'll make confusions and so on. Is it a Xera atu a doraisa? But the Rav right now is not ready for the Xera element. That's going to come up here on the next page, which is the last thing that we touched. But the first thing that we touched on was this concept of suffix. That maybe, in fact, since it's not Gemura, meaning it still is Mu'ura Begidin, it still has a quasi-din of Basar, and in that case we have to ask ourselves, well, what Iser could we possibly be involved with regard to this Beitza, if it's still considered Basar? And if you're dealing with the Dam issue, then you're dealing with the Doraisa. If you're dealing with the Nevela issue, you're dealing with the Doraisa. If you're dealing with an issue of cooking it with milk, then you're dealing with the Drabbanan in the worst case scenario. Why? Because Basar Ov is only Drabbanan.
And are we going to get into the whole thing of, do you have to check the Nevela to see if it was a Trefa to begin with?
Well, that's going to be the Gzera of the Nevela Atu Trefa that we're going to get into. I just want to, before we go on to that, I just want to make sure I didn't leave out this Shach here. What does the Shach say? That in the case of Beis HaShchuta, even if it's Nigmar Legamre, they don't want to cook it with milk. Gam Ke Shaklipa Chitzona Kosh Legamre. So Nogin Ke Mishuk Shoshulat Deh, this will be the Basar. Ah, I see. So this has to do with Tosfos, who says that we have certain Chumras in Basar Of. And those chumras and basar of are based on the fact that there is one opinion that basar of is doraisa. All right. So now Rabbi said we're up to Kuf Tzadi Aleph. That's really where we were holding in our last discussion. Tosfos says the following, that Beit Zas Nevela is a gzera derabanan, atu beitzas trefa. Now it seems that Tosfos is introducing the following concept, that if the animal produces its beitza, then we have to ask the following question. Is the animal per se asura or muteres? Herein lies the difference between trefa and nevela. In the case of a trefa, if the animal presumably is generating, is creating the beitza, so we have a principle called yotzim and asur, just like the animal itself is treifa, so to the beitza has the status of a treifa. But if we're dealing with a nevela, then the animal per se is muteres, all you need is shkita. And if the animal therefore produces a beitza, that beitza is muteres. And this is what Tosus means when he says that we have to worry about the following confusion. If we allow you to eat the beitza that you found in a nevela tomorrow, you might eat the beitza that you found in a treifa. Why? Because in your mind, since you found the egg inside the body of the animal, the question really is it part of the animal, is it not? So the psak was that in Beitzah's nevela, again before the gzera, you're allowed to eat it. No, what does he say? Because the Beitzah was completely developed, it had both chelmon and chelbon, therefore it's not considered part of its mother bird. And that's why Beitzah's nevela is muteris. So again, it's not a case where the egg was found in a certain place, you know, and we know it came from an nevela. That's not the case. The case is where you open up, you do a post-mortem operation on the tarnagolas, and lo and behold, it's an nevela, and you find an egg. According to the Doraisa law, you're allowed to eat the egg. There's no reason to be inhibited.
So the technical parallel would be a beitza which is finished, and then the animal becomes a treifa. Then you're allowed to eat the egg. Right, that would be the exact parallel to
the veil. Right. And yet, what's going to happen is, since you found the egg inside the chicken, you don't know the difference between a veil and a treifa. You're going to think, well, they allowed me to eat this egg, even though the mother bird is an veila, it didn't have shechita, they're going to allow me to eat it even if the mother bird is a treifa.
But we don't know when a treifa occurs. We know when a nevela occurs, because when you have the shechita, either it was kosher or it wasn't. But when you're dealing with a treifa, you found simanei treifut, you have no idea when that
generally
happened.
Speaking, so, I mean, there could be cases where the animal fell and then, you know, fell into a fire and it became a treifa, or swallowed a pin or something, yeah. But yeah, you know, you're right. But I'm just pointing out that the bottom line here of for our purposes is this gzera. Which, now the Rav gives this gzera a name. It's very interesting. He says the following, that this gzera is a gzera of nimtzeis. Right? In other words, nimtzeis means that you found the egg in the body of its mother, and the body of its mother is asura. Again, if it was a treifa, then it's gadla be'isur, and that's a real bona fide isur of yotzei min ha'asur. The doraisa level, you're not allowed to eat this beitza because the mother bird that gave birth to this beitza, or I should say, developed or generated the animal, the beitza, the flesh of the beitza, is a treifa, is asura. So that's clear. That's called gadla be'isur. The case in the veil, we don't have gadla be'isur, but we have nimtzeis be'isur. And the gzera is nimtzeis atu gedela. Otherwise, you could formulate it nevela atu treif. So the Rav says that why did Tosfos, when he tried to understand the chumrah of beitzas nevela, that even though it's a beitza gemura, Basil says you're not allowed to eat it, we consider it as nevela. So Tos says because of the laws of Sfeikus, that maybe this beitza is basar, and therefore he violates the Issur d'oraisa of nevela. Why didn't Tosfos give this answer? That Ein Hachinami, we know, and Basil also know, that the beitza is a beitza gemura, it's not nevela. But the main gzera of nimtzeis atu gadla. So Tosfos says that the reason why Tosfos in his first answer didn't give this explanation of yotzim and asur is because svir leil Tosfos shelo rechivu din yotzim and asur lichlo af mashe nimtza chakech miru lodun beitzas nevela kibasar atzmo. He says the following. There are two different approaches in Tosfos. One approach is to say that the reason why Beitzas Nevela is Asura is because we're afraid it might have a din of Basar, or you might confuse it with a Beitzas She'eina Gemura, which has a din of Basar. And since we're dealing with a Nevela, the egg is Nevela. The other approach is to say no, that the Gzeira is Atu Godla. It's a case of Nimtzes, and we're afraid you'll confuse it with Godla. Godla is a catchphrase for what?
Trefa.
Those are the two views of Tosfos. Now Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that they were machmir in the case of Beitzas Nevela because Nevela is called a Dovar Ha'asur. Now Rabbeinu Tam asks, well, what happens in the case of a Shchuta? And you want to take this Beitzah that you find inside the body of a Shchuta and cook it with milk. There, the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter. And that's based on Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam himself is matir. So now, Rabbeinu Tam has a serious problem. You found a Beitzah in a Nevela, you're going to consider it as Nevela. That means it's Basar. You found a Beitzah in a Shchuta, and you're allowed to eat it with what? With Chalav, which means that it's considered a separate entity and it's not Basar. How then can you turn around and say that the Beitzas Nevela that you found inside the Nevela is considered Basar? It's part of the Nevela itself. So Rabbeinu Tam answers that the difference is because Nevela is a Dovar Asar, meaning the Nevela itself is through and through Asar. Masha Enkin, in the case of a Beitzah, this Beitzah is not Asura. Your whole issue is it Basar or is it Chalav? I don't mean Chalav literally, I mean is it Parva? In such a case, Rabbeinu Tam says, came in the Kolchad V'chad Bi'api Nafshi Mutter. Each element here in the equation is Heter. Whether you call it Basar or you call it Chalav, both are Mutter. It's only when you combine the two. In that case,
in the egg milk mixture, simply.
Right. In other words, the egg itself is
the
mutter.
Egg and the milk. That's
right. So now you're going to take it and cook it with milk. The milk itself is mutter. Elo what? The egg might be basar, and we saw that chumra in the case of the veil that we treat the egg as if it was basar, and therefore it's also b'taras the veil. Well, why don't you apply the same deal when you take this beitza after shchita and you cook it together with chalav. So Rabbeinu Tam says, because in basar v'chalav, it's heter v'heter. The chalav is mutter and the basar is mutter. So we don't know exactly what Rabbeinu Tam has in mind. The Rav, I don't know, I don't want to prejudice you, but I think he rewrites the script of Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know how to read this into the words of Rabbeinu Tam. But he comes up with the following conceptual breakthrough. And he wants to say the following. That let's assume the Beitzah, because it's a Beitzah Gemura, has its own Tam. It doesn't have a Tam of Basar. As far as the veil is concerned, is that relevant? Totally irrelevant. Why? Because if we assume that this Beitzas Nevela is part of the Nevela, I don't have to ask a question of Tam. It's Nevela. That's what Rabbeinu Tam meant when he said it's a Dovar Asur. Nevela is a Dovar Asur in and of itself. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what does he mean? It's not also because the Beitz has a Tam of Nevela, but rather insofar as the Beitz is part of the Nevela, it's Basa Nevela, it's Asur. Tam aher, tam ahin, you know, you can rack your brains and ask yourself whether it has a tam of the veil or not. Alright, it doesn't have a tam of the veil. Who cares? It's part of the nevela. And why is it part of the nevela? Because it's a Beitzah She'eina Gemura, and we're going to consider it part of the body of the nevela. Masha Enkin, in contrast, when we get to the case of cooking the Beitzah of a Shkuta together with Cholav, there it's an issue of tam. And now the question is, does the Beitzah carry a Tam Basar? If it does, then by cooking it with milk, you are injecting or projecting the Tam Basar into the Chalav, into the Gvina. That itself is Basar B'Chalav. But the Chiddush is, of Rabbeinu Tam, is that no, there is no tam basar over here. Why is there no tam basar? Because it's a beitz gemura. It has both chelmon and chelmon. Once it's a beitz gemura, then it doesn't have a tam of basar. Wow, this is a pretty radical chiddush in Rabbeinu Tam. Listen to what Rabbeinu Tam is saying now, and you can begin to understand why the Rishonim didn't accept Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is saying you could have something that's basar, and yet you're allowed to cook it with milk. Why? Because it doesn't have tam basar. The Rishonim couldn't tolerate that. If you classify it as basar, and I'll prove it to you, because he's saying that it has a din of nevela, in a case where you didn't shecht it. So you're considering it as basa. How can you take basa and cook it with milk in the case of a shechuta? The same beitza, I mean, in terms of the development, instead of an nevela, you find it in a shechuta. So you're telling me it's awesome in terms of nevela. Why? Because it has the status of basa. But it's mutter with chalav because it's lacking a tam basa. The Rishonim say, mecha taste it. If it's basar, it's basar. The Torah says you can't cook basar with chalav. I'm not going to analyze whether there's a tam basar or not. You know, in a sense, you could say, to defend all the Rishonim, that there are many types of meat in the world. Many, many types. You know, there are 10 chayas that we're allowed to eat, and who knows how many behemoths we're allowed to eat, different species. Everyone is a little different. Maybe if you were a kfela, if I gave you, I'm blind, I gave you a piece of meat, you'd be able to tell me which, was it gedi, was it son, was it bakar, was it this, that, and the other thing. Everyone, but the Torah says it's basar. If it's basar, it's basar. Lo tzavashel basar mechalei vimo, period. But Rabbeinu Tam is draining with his thumb, and he's saying, well, what happens if I find something that's basar, but it doesn't have a tam basar? And that's going to be the case of the beitza. So if salvation claims that that's what Rabbeinu Tam means, that here it's not awesome in Torah's basar v'chol. Why? Because although it has a status of basar, and if you're dealing with nevela, it's part of the nevela, it's part of the basar. But if you're dealing with basar v'chol, it doesn't have this the additional requirement, the additional variable, right, of basar plus tam basar. And that's what the Torah prohibits. Basar plus tam basar.
As if there could possibly be a basar that would become mutar b'chala because it doesn't have ta'am basar?
Well, that's going to be a sugya that we have to learn really enough far kufkes. That's the sugya of Efshal Afrido, Efshal Sochto.
Oh, okay.
You learn by Rav Weiss, yeah, right? Yeah. I remember I didn't learn by Rav Weiss, but every time I asked the guy for Rav Weiss this year, what did the Rebbe talk about today? He says, Efshal Sochto, Efshal Afrido. Yeah. That was like the standard. So that's a sugya daf kuf ches. I mean, it'll take a while till we get there, but especially now that we have a Bein Hazman theory coming up. But
take a while.
But yeah, I mean, it could be that you could have a piece of basar that through the principle called tam ki ikar might have received the status of basar mechala, but maybe you could remove the tam basar and maybe you could be matir. I don't know. Well, that's much more advanced. But here was something, we're talking about an entity. It's a beitza. If I gave you this beitza to eat, you would say, wow, wonderful. That's, a fried egg for breakfast. You would not say it was meat, because it has no similarity to a tam basar. And what Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that you have something that's an entity, even though it's technically basar, but it doesn't have anything to do, nothing in common with tam basar. It's an egg. Then it's not awesome or basar b'chol. That's what he means when he says zeh hetem mifnei atzmo v'zeh hetem mifnei atzmo. In the language of Rabbeinu Tam, it's a stretch. But let's see how we could use this distinction for our own purposes. The Shulchan Aruch in Pei Zayin, as we saw earlier, says that if you find after shkita a beitza in the tarnagolus's body, so it depends if it has both chelbon and chelmon, then you're allowed to cook it with what?
Milk.
With milk. Oh, what happens if it only has chelmon and it doesn't have chelbon? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins the following. It's a brisker Shulchan Aruch. Tzvei dinim. He says the following. If you want to eat it with milk, this egg that only has what? Chelmon. You're not allowed to do so. But if you went ahead and you ate it unto itself, meaning not with milchiks, and now you want to eat milchiks immediately afterwards, you're allowed to eat milchiks a little bit afterwards. So the Shach tries to understand this. He says that the Shulchan Aruch holds that since you don't have a chelbon, you only have a chelbon, then you and I would have said, well, it's not considered an entity unto itself. That's not a Beitza Gemurah because it's missing chelbon. No, says the Shulchan Aruch, and that's how the Shach interprets it, it's considered a Beitza Gemurah. Af im abeitza meura begidim, and it's only nigbar chelma. Is mevela, if you go ahead and eat this egg, since we said it's already considered an entity unto itself, you can eat cheese afterwards. If you can eat cheese afterwards, so why can't you eat it with cheese? The Shach doesn't really give us a clarity here. The fact that you can't eat it with cheese means that it has the status of basa. If it has the status of basa, then why aren't you waiting 6 hours before you eat challah? So here's where the Rav is going to build on the distinction that he made before. The Mechaber holds that even though it's not complete in its development, it doesn't have a tam basa. Do you hear? So the difference between with chelbon and without chelbon has nothing to do with time. It's a separate entity with its own time, even though it hasn't completed its development. It's only at the state of chelmon. Therefore, the Mechaber says that you're allowed to eat milk right after you eat this egg. Because the whole reason to wait after you eat fleishiks, to eat milchiks, is because of the time. What the Rabbanan did was, they made a gzera and they said, well, if you're going to enjoy in your mouth the time of basa, the time of gvina, because the time of basa lingers in your mouth even after you finish your meal, then it's as if you ate basa b'chol. That's not going to apply to the case of a beitza, because the beitza, even though it only reached the state of chelmon, has no time of basa. However, al pi din, it is basa, because it's a beitza shein and gemura. So if you want to eat this together with chalav, that you can't do, because then you're eating basar and chalav together. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the previous discussion we had about Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam's discussion is about a beitza that already passed the stage of chelbon, and therefore it's really a separate entity, and we can talk about whether it has tam or it doesn't have tam. But now we're saying that even in a case of a beitza she'ena gemura, all it has is chelmon and it doesn't have chelbon, that's real basa. And if that's real basa, there's no way, no how, that we can allow you to eat that with chalav. But what we can allow you to do is eat chalav afterwards because you don't have time. What should I say? It's like kinuach. You know, it's like a person eats meat and he cleans out his teeth, and he knows, he guarantees that there's no meat particles within his teeth. So according to some Rishonim, in such a case, he doesn't have to wait 6 hours. Or according to Rashi, Shita, the whole reason we wait 6 hours is because of the time that lingers in your mouth. Well, that doesn't apply in the case of a beitza. And the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch is that doesn't apply in the case of a beitza, even if it's a beitza shein gemura, it doesn't have chelbon. Why? Because it doesn't have time. Now he quotes the Shach. The Shach says, what happens if you smack a tarnagolas? He gives a case where he's hika tarnagolas, al's nava, you know, and it's tail. Vipila, right? The tarnagolas had a miscarriage, and it gave birth, it laid an egg. The egg has not been developed yet, it's not complete. It's still ma'ura begidin. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that beitza is called Eiver Minachai. Why? Because the Tarnagolus is still alive. The egg is not developed, and if it's considered part of the body of the Tarnagolus, it's an Eiver Min Achai. You know, the last thing that you and I would think of is don't eat this egg because it's Eiver Min Achai. But, you know, in Halacha, every possibility has to be addressed. If the Beitzah is still considered part of its mother, it's a Beitzah Sheina Gemura, it's an Eiver in the body of the Tarnagolus. The Tarnagolus is still alive and well. Then if you take one Eiver of that Tarnagolus and you want to eat it, you violate the Eiser of Eiver Min Achai. So we see clearly, says the Shach, from the Shulchan Aruch, that the status of a Beitzah when it's Me'ura Begidim is that of Basar. Such an extent that it's Eiver Min Achai.
But Eiver Min Achai, even from an oaf, is the Oraisa.
Right. So if we go with the first answer, Tosis, that in a case of oaf, when you want to cook it with milk, we could be makil in this Beitzah case because in the worst case scenario he violates Of B'chol, which is the Rabbanon. But here, if it's Eiver Min Achai, yeah, but wait a second, Yosef. If there's a problem of Eiver Min Achai, so then how could you allow cooking this egg with Cholov? The egg itself is Eiver Min Achai.
But this is a different case.
How?
Because the reason why this egg came out in the first place was an external intervention. It wasn't a natural egg laying.
So since it's not
it's
natural,
it's like chopping off a part of the body. Oh, I have meat here. No, you have Eiver Min Achai.
Well, wait a second. Is the Tarnagolus holding on to an egg, or the egg is part of its body? In other words, if you're telling me that this egg, at this stage in development, let's assume it has both chelmon and chelbon, right? So at this stage in its development, I can cook it together with milk. Then you're telling me it's not part, you know, it's not an Eiver Min Achai. It's not part. He says, if it's Eiver Min Achai, am I mutu levash lebecholov? Right? Even though it has both chelmon and chelbon, you should not be permitted to cook it with milk if you're telling me it's Eiver Min Achai.
Okay, then how is it different from finding the egg in a oaf shachut? There too, it wasn't laid. It's still in the body. It didn't come out yet. Why is that different than this case?
What do you mean? In terms of Eiver Min Achai? What are you talking about?
Eiver
Shachud, it's not Eiver Min Achai. I mean, Eiver Min Achai only applies where he gives it a bang, right? And it's a Beitzah Sheina Gemura. But the Shach is assuming that very Beitzah Gemura in its stage would be allowed to be cooked with Cholov. And how is that possible if you're going to tell me that it's an Eiver Min Achai? Something
well, it's
is
Eiver
missing.
Then it's also Legamri.
Right. So how can you say it's Mutu Levash LeBecholov? So the Shach says that Yesh Li Yashiv Al Pitos V'Shelo Kilu Chachom El Gabi Iser Basar Of Becholov. Shade El Bidur Apono. Just 1 second. It's not clear to me. Are we talking about after the chelbon or what? Let's say move it to Hechsha, Beitzamur Begodin, Begidin, Dina, Ke, Basar, Hatarangol. So the reason why it's Eiver Min Achai is because since it's still Me'ura Begidin, we consider it as part of the animal's body. Imkein, Amai Mutalavash Lo Becholov. If it's considered part of the boss of the Tanagolus, how can you possibly allow cooking it with chalav? What does he mean when he adds kol sheyeshlo chelmon v'chelbon? I thought he means even
he's
though...
Not talking about, he's not talking about the Beitzah that came out by hitting it.
Right, so the... No, that I understand. But what was the state of the Beitzah that came out by hitting it? Did it have a chelmon and a chelbon? That's not clear to me.
It's Eiver Min Achai.
No, I'm just asking. It seems to me that whether it's Eiver Min Achai should depend upon the answer to a previous question. You know, this sequentially we have to ask an earlier question. When you see this egg that came out after the smack, what stage of development is it? Is he assuming that it's both chalmon v'chalbon? Because then I understand this kasha, because how can you call it on the one at Eiver Min Achai, which means it's basar and it's part of the animal, and at the same time allow me to cook it with milk? Unless he's talking about an assumption where we don't know what exactly is the state of the egg. Maybe we can't tell. So we have to consider it Avram and Achai because of the suffix, the possibility that it's still called basar. However, to cook it with milk, since it's part of a chicken, so then even in the worst case scenario that we consider it l'chumra part of the chicken, then it's basar, but basar of b'chol is only the rabbana. Then he writes, inami dafka gabi basar b'chol v'kilu, afagav d'choshiv basar, hoiv l'chol chan b'yapi nafshi mutar. Here the Shach is quoting Rabbi Nutan. So it is considered basar, but it doesn't have tam basar. And therefore it would not asr the cheese when you cook it with the cheese. And then the Shach says, lo kashim nidi, dafil lo chashiva beitza basar, mikom kim yesh isu lahasam, da'af chalav, haya asr mishum evre menachai. Wow. You hear what he's saying now? He's saying, even if I grant you that it's not basar, call it chalav. But nevertheless, it's still Avram and Achai, because the Gemara has a special drush in Bechoros Tafvam and Beis, Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, that this Beitza is not considered Chalav, but otherwise it would be considered Avram and Achai. In came the he, the Golilon, Krud, Lagabi Chalav.
The Gemara's drush is for eggs?
Yeah. The Gemara's darshaning that... No, I'm sorry. The Gemara is asking about Cholov.
It's Mutter.
Oh, it's not Avram and Achai, right?
And it's not Fleshig either. Or that's not part of the business.
Right, so let's go slowly. So, if not for the Drasha, we would have considered Cholov as Avram and Achai. Cholov is the opposite of Basa. So you see the definition of Avram and Achai has nothing to do with the definition of Basa. Nehi the Golan Krol Agavi Cholov. That word that it's not called Avram and Achai. Ha'ini Mishum Di'enu Mechubar L'Bal Chai.
Mm-hmm.
It's like something that was porish from the Baal Chai, because right. It's not connected. And it fell from the tide because you're not right. Is Shapi Yeshlosim the name of Chai? Afal Gav Di Ainlo Din Basa Klal. That's very gishmak. So let's we have to have
something that's called Eimer Chai and not Basa.
Correct. So we assumed all along, and that was the Shach's assumption, that if it has a din of basar, then it's Avram and Achai.
If it's attached, it has to be basar. He's saying it can be attached and not basar.
It's not basar, correct. It's not basar, because it's a beitza, and it's ma'ura beginin, and you're allowed to eat it with cholah. But it still might have the status of basar and Achai, because it's ma'ura. So that's we need a few more minutes. I'm pressured for time because of minute, but that's worthwhile going over.
Yeah.
Okay then?
Yeah.